Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
To an emerging forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, welcome everybody to this Sunday night, and the first Sunday night in November 2017. It also happens to be the first full day of daylight of Eastern Standard Time, not daylight saving time. And I'd like to welcome once again my co-host, or my somebody who comes on semi-frequently, David Whitman. Hi, David. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Alan. How are you tonight? How's it going?
Pretty good. It's interesting that I had an interesting week, and I'm sure you had an interesting week. And as we always talk about, pushing your edge and pushing your envelope, and trying new things and expanding into new areas in life. And one of those things that you and I have both been expanding into is acting, and sort of looking at how we can voluntarily rehearse to be in roles, and then also look at roles that we think we put ourselves into, but that are actually roles that society would like us to think are come from our own head. And it was, I sort of got started on this this thought train just by some weird set of circumstances. And the weird set of circumstances was I got a flat tire on my bike a couple of weeks ago. And my bike is a bike that I have spent money for a membership in the Collingswood Bike Share, which is a very cool program. You can pay them $25 a year, and they'll loan you a bike, and they'll do repairs on it. They're open twice a week. In the summer, in the spring, summer, and fall, but they're not open in the winter. It's too cold. And so I went over there on Saturday, and they had kind of known that I wanted to volunteer for a while, and I actually had time on Saturday, so I volunteered. And I'm not technically inept, but I didn't have the confidence, especially the confidence to change a back tire, the one with the gears and the gear cassette on it. So they instructed me and sort of held my hand, and I asked questions and they answered them. And I was able to work through that, and then there were a few other tasks, polishing a bike, and then one of the technician guys was aligning a tire, basically similar to like piano strings. You twist on one side, and the spokes pull the tire one way, or you twist on the other side, and it turns the other way. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to balance the pull from both sides, so the tire doesn't have any eccentricities. And that was very interesting. So I got to learn, got to be with people and talk to people and see what they were doing. And it was really funny because one of the guys was talking about the Scottish Rite Theater, which is in Collingswood, and, you know, talking about some productions that he's seen there. And then just out of the blue, he mentioned Plays and Players Theater over in Philadelphia. And I was like sitting there with my jaw on my chest, basically saying, okay, you know, I'm going, you guys obviously didn't know that I was going to a closing of an art show there in like 3 hours. But here right. He is coming out of this guy's mouth. And so that was pretty happenstance funny. And it was also interesting for me to observe myself, because normally I would jump all over that and say, oh, I'm going to a closing there in a couple hours. That's pretty funny. But I actually managed to throttle myself back and not say that. And just allow the conversation to be more them than and less, you know, me wading in there with, you know, with elbows flying and making it about me, because I don't need to push myself on them. I want to know more about other people, because I just want to be you know, sort of less pushy and more learning and more receptive. So it was a real eye opener, because after I got my bike back, of course I got on it and I was going to ride home, and I was like all thumbs. It was just like I'd ridden this bike like, you know, 60 miles a week back and forth all over the place, and here I was getting on it after 2 weeks, and it was like I couldn't ride it. It was like my feet were running into the tires, and I couldn't turn a corner, and I was like looking around and not able to negotiate traffic and sticking to the sidewalks and feeling really awkward. And I'll, you know, fast forward a day, I was fine. I went to the gym today and I didn't have any problems, you know, of any note, you know, negotiating on the bike. But yesterday at my initial, you know, getting back on the bike, I noticed this, you know, marked like physical impediment, or this physical weirdness that was going on. And so I was thinking about, you know, I have this identity that, you know, I this role that I was playing where I was this bicyclist, and but I didn't know who I was, because that had basically dropped away, and all it had taken was 2 weeks to sort of dissolve. And I was feeling, you know, when I was shaky and being on the bike and being like fish out of water, I was actually I was having an identity crisis. Sort of being a physical identity crisis and an uncertainty as to who I was, because I had told myself I was this person who did this task and did it rather, you know, I'm not a fantastic bicycle rider, but I have withstood the sort of the initiation pain of being on a bicycle again, and you get over a certain amount of pain and you get sort of a level of physical conditioning that you didn't realize that you had when you were, you know, 13 years old. You know, it takes like a couple weeks for the aches to go away, but
right.
You know, here I was that person, and it was like, oh my gosh, I'm not that person. So immediately I started to question myself on a broader scale, and it was kind of interesting. So I was reflecting on what stories I tell myself about who I am. And David and I have interacted a few times off the air, and one of those times was a coaching call from him. And at another time, David also basically offhandedly say, well, Alan, you know you're limited by your own beliefs about yourself. So I kind of had those tools or those perspectives pushing me on to sort of examine what, you know, with very critically, because I try to examine critically beliefs, and it's one of the, in the summary of the show, it says, or the intro of the show is, this is a safe place to examine, an emerging forest is a safe place to examine society, and also the stories that society tells us to tell ourselves about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was examining myself, and before I launch into it, as just as a sort of a, okay, what are we going to talk about tonight? The story package that I sort of saw was, there was this story package to make me feel better about my actions. And what my counter to that was, or my question to that was that story package more for comfort, more of a comfort blanket than truth? So, at this point in we haven't rehearsed this or anything. Do you have any, David, do you have anything to say, or should I keep going, or do you want to talk about this for a minute?
No, I'm enjoying listening, so no, keep going.
Oh, okay.
Say more.
Okay. With that as a preamble for this this interesting identity crisis that I went through yesterday, and I'm using as a lever to grow with, was when I think about the actions I take on a small scale, I try to make them expand my experience opportunities. And just in general, politically, I am for wholeness, and I'm for people being okay with themselves and being okay with all parts of themselves, and trying to expand their repertoire to be the lion, not to be a part of the lion that is deemed at this time to be sanitary by society. so to be their whole self. And I view all species and types as having a reason to exist and contribute. But I was taught as a younger person that humans are the top dog, and as a result we can dominate. So I don't believe that anymore. I'm more of someone who wants to say, well, as a human, I need other things in order to have the broadest experience base possible coming to me. That can still be seen as dominating for my own purposes, but I'm even saying, well, I want to cater to the experience of others beyond humanity and to have a more balanced approach. And I don't know what that, I don't know what, in that context, I don't know what balance means. I don't think that there shouldn't be any humans on the planet, but on the other hand, I don't think they should be self-righteously taking license with the habitats of other creatures, and that's a really hard, where are we balanced, or where are we pushing and where are we not pushing? That's a really hard call to make as to when are humans in the way. Most people would say humans are always in the way because they're always pushing and always dominating. So in a nutshell, how I'm defining myself is the earth naturally, nature on earth is naturally bountiful. And if the society is designed to make use of the sun, soil, water, air, and rock that is present, we'll have more than enough to eat and more than enough energy, and we won't be polluting if we design how we live here correctly. But how we are living here in a, I like to call it a scare city, which is a sort of a play on scarcity and fear at the same time. We live in that society called scare city, where we're told that everything costs money because there's not too much of it, where there basically should be too much food and it shouldn't cost anything. We're told that food is really scarce and it takes a lot of effort to make it, therefore it should cost you something, and that a roof over your head should cost you something, and that feeding your passion and finding your passion is just not something you can do because you have to go to work to make money to buy food, which is very scarce. So
it's a vicious
cycle. Yeah, but right, it's basically you're never going to get to do you. You always have to do dollars and food and be scared. So my identity, or my self-imposed identity within an emerging forest, springs from this. But I'm also aware of, so I'm holding that nature's bounty and wanting to bring forward nature's bounty. But at the same time, with an emerging forest, I realize that there's other viewpoints. There's the viewpoint of the system that exists now that I no longer hold, but it's there, so it has lessons to give. So it should be a part of, if we make something new, which has other facets to it, the facet from whence we came isn't necessarily one that we should give up. it has lessons to teach. We shouldn't, you know, okay, there's a slice of the whole, and quote unquote, it's the one that I'm looking at now saying that's a little old for me, or I'm a little bored with it, but it's not necessarily something that all of the customers who come here, all the customers who are coming here now want that. So who am I to say that it should go away? I'm just saying I'd rather balance it off with something else that would be more in line with nature or more more enabled by nature, to have a natural basis as the foundation, and then to have these other things on top of the foundation, whereas the foundation is right now anti-nature. So with that's sort of my basis of thinking that I built for myself. So within that, so within that sort of that psyche of, you know, okay, what is Alan's life purpose? And Alan's life purpose is built along this this tree hugging, community building, more nutritional food, enhancement of my personal economy, and of course I'm telling myself that I'm the hero of this whole story, where it's going to be me and I'm going to bring this forward, and this all sits together and nests together as what one calls one's life purpose. And that's an interesting buzzword, life purpose, because you can go on to YouTube and find videos that basically say, oh, I can help you discover your life purpose in 7 minutes or something like that, or 30 seconds. And he or she takes you through a series of questions and says, yes, that's the thing that's your life purpose. Well, here I have sort of shed an old way of thinking and come to a new way of thinking. And of course, not of course, but it happens to be counter, 180 degrees counter to my old way of thinking. That's an interesting fact, that it is opposed to the way I used to think. Have I just exited one room and gone into the room just directly next to it and figured out and said, oh, I'm much more interested in this. I want to react against my childhood. So I'm, quote unquote, rebelling against my earlier self. That's a pretty hilarious notion of being whole, right? Because you're actually not being whole. You're being, you're revolting against yourself. So I'm just basically getting to this point, and I was getting to this point earlier today, where, and as I sort of motivated earlier in the show, I was talking about being the lion and not being a part of the lion, but being the whole lion. And so this idea of considering where I came from earlier in my life, and then exiting through a door, and then looking back under a new perspective, or with more information, or just with different information, looking back and seeing how limited my life used to be, and then becoming becoming the antithesis of a certain fraction of my psyche. That's not being the whole person. That's not embracing my whole self. That's basically rebelling against yourself.
Well, rebelling against yourself. That's a really good way to put it. I mean, that's essentially you breaking out of your comfort zone, rebelling against what your ego has become or what your ego is in essence. But yeah,
well,
the rebelling against yourself.
That...
Tell me more about the rebelling against yourself. I'm interested to hear more about that. That's interesting.
So it was interesting that I've been trying to become a stronger, more broad-based individual.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done is I've gone from being one individual, very introverted, to, you know, going into this new area and finding out more and looking back at who I was and where I came from and wanting and judging that instead of embracing it and saying, well, that's where I came from. And so after I had basically had this internal perspective or internal perspective on this transition, I realized that an emerging forest has a place, and the concepts that are discussed under an emerging forest will have a place for a long time, but an emerging forest is a fragment of the whole. An emerging forest discussing being, being in line with nature's bounty, and being an emerging forest is in essence a reaction to finding out more about quote unquote myself, or finding out more about society, and realizing that there is there's more I have to learn, and that there's also a huge gap in or something very large in society that is not being addressed, which is nature's design. Nature's design is very well addressed, and that's how, I mean, if you're in Scare City and there's very little of the necessary items for life, then a few people can hold power, whereas if everything is, you know, very bountiful and everyone knows how to supply themselves, nobody can be in control because there's no scarcity. So finding out more about that, but then I was thinking, okay, how much of myself, you know, I was feeling rather strong about myself, and I was feeling, well, I have this expansive knowledge now. I can really advance forward and take the bull by the horns, and create, you know, new things in society that everyone will like and be a success. But I realized that it's really possible that I've come from a really, really, really tiny fragment of being a lion just into a room that's maybe just a little bit bigger than the one that I was just in, and it's nowhere even as large as a single hair on a lion's tail. And that maybe I should, I'm making a lot of friends, and maybe I should sort of take a back seat and not go out there and fall flat on my face and be a little bit more humble. And I don't necessarily want to call it safe in my approach, but I mean, maybe that's a decent way to put it at this, because I don't have another way of saying it, rather than being, you know, approaching things in an extremely risky fashion and saying, oh, I don't have to do my homework first. It's sort of going out there on stage with no rehearsal and just saying, oh, lightning will strike me and I'll be okay. rather than doing the required homework or the basic homework, and saying maybe I should edge out there a little bit slower and actually know what I'm doing.
What would that what would it feel like?
Well, it sort of causes me to, you know, rethink some of my risk. I mean, I've been a little bit interested in taking risks,
mm-hmm.
Because I don't really have a lot to I don't really have a lot to quote unquote. I haven't been taking risks. I've been trying to make an economy for myself, but at this point, we'll come back on that after the break, because I just noticed what time it is, and it's a perfect time to play this song by Darv the Bard, How and Toe. See y'all in a few minutes.
When you were born, your father's father wore it, and your father wore it too.
International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, welcome back, and I hope we have some callers that are, listeners that are still on. If you want to call us, please do. The number is 646-564-9714. Once again, that's 646-564-9714. And you can talk about identity. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can talk about something that Dave and I have been encouraging everyone out there to do for the past weeks, which is to explore your passion and, you know, enable the small facet of yourself that's sometimes you can explore it inside the scarcity, or sometimes you're just in the cycle of working real hard to get some more food. So before the break, we were talking about me possibly changing my perspective and or my path and being a little bit more interested in sort of what I would call the mundane things. I mean, you can be going around the merry-go-round and you can say, the only thing I'm interested in is the brass ring. It's the thing that's going to get me, you know, a wild change in my life. And I'll just concentrate on the brass ring to the exclusion of everything else. And I've always had, or I have and am working on things that one would call the brass ring, but I think that I'm distracting myself, and I've also had the perspective that there are some things in my everyday life that are crafts and arts that and skills, sort of I call them the same thing, skills that I want to become better at, and that those skills are actually the reason we're here. And to become better at those skills that's why our soul exists. That's our soul basically stacks up skill learning sets over the unfathomable number of years that we're in a body and stacks them up. And so you could think, you could say to yourself, I'm a professional actor, and it's not necessarily in this lifetime that you were a professional actor. You can just say, well, I'm a natural professional actor, and people just say I have a knack for it, but I developed that knack for it in my unfathomable timeline. That's how I'm able to think about passions and how I'm able to think about other things like that. They're just skill sets that you have taken time or been able to take time over many lives. And so those past sessions of working on that skill set aren't in the past. They're actually right there, because the past, In my viewpoint, the past doesn't exist. The past is all summed into the now. So, because your soul is basically sitting right there, and the soul knows, doesn't deal in time. It deals in building skill. So all of those skills are right there. They're what you connect to. They're how you operate in society. They're why certain people are looked at and said, oh, that person's a natural so-and-so. Well, they weren't a natural so-and-so ridiculous number of years ago when they were a neophyte, mm-hmm. but they worked at it, and maybe that's their passion, and that's what they're super good at. So what I really want to try to change, or I am changing and I am becoming more interested in doing, is what I would call mundane skill building, which is like really, really small incremental change in your life. And if it's like a road that's ahead of you where you have this skill that you can actually train in, and you can think, oh my gosh, I'm actually learning this, you might be learning it for the first time. And if you think about how big your character is, to be offered an opportunity to actually improve one of the skills on this enormous, you know, you can think of it as a computer role-playing character, to be offered an opportunity to improve one of the skills on this awesome being, you're like sitting there saying, oh my gosh, I actually get to really, really do some effective training, and it's being offered to me right now. That's when you're in your glory, because you're actually able to make this, you know, these huge changes to this massive character. You know, who knows how long has gone by before you're actually presented an opportunity to practice an art and to build a skill. So, yeah, I'm sort of, you know, changing my perspective. Okay, I might have to live less than I might want to, but on the other hand, that shouldn't be my focus. My focus should be, am I being afforded this opportunity to build a skill? That's the goal of possibly the goal of living. So if I'm actually being afforded an opportunity to achieve the goal of living, and I can't see any better way to spend my time.
Well, there's a lot of there's a lot that you're looking to do in this lifetime, right?
Well, I had sort of, okay, you sort of have a story where you say you're going to make leaps and bounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you sort of say, I'm going to be this this world-changing person. But then what I've just sort of realized is that being a world-changing person isn't what I'm here to do. I'm actually maybe, or has my soul set me down somewhere where I can actually do work on myself, which is the point of my existence. So my work on myself may very well have impact on society, but maybe that shouldn't be my focus. Maybe my focus should be on my own skills.
Say more.
So, as with all self exploration, the person that you do have freedom to experiment on is yourself. And so, if I explore my own, you know, if I bring events to myself that are just what I create in order to focus on building my skills, what happens as a result of that may be along the lines of my broader picture, but maybe like I was saying earlier, maybe I'll understand that, yes, indeed, I wasn't in the broad experience world. I was only in another fragment of a small piece of hair on the lion's tail, and I'm nowhere near even becoming the tail of the lion, much less the actual lion itself. So it's a perspective to basically be, you've discovered the channel changer, the remote on the television. It doesn't mean, and you've discovered that there's another channel, and you start watching the other channel, but you don't know about the rest of it. So I'd like to say that a healthy perspective for where I am in my existence is one with a lot more humility and less, I know everything now, and I'll just proceed to trip and fall flat on my face. Maybe it's healthy to say maybe I should keep a little bit of that going in my portfolio, but also look to do some basic skill building and some really basic skill building, like the skill building that I think I'm going to try to do next, which is basically how to appear just in print, not in something where you're actually in motion, but how to be a commercial print model. Because that's what's coming next for me, and I know that you're actually taking some commercial acting classes, and you were saying they were improv?
Well, it's I'm taking it with who is my improv teacher. She's offering a course, and it's going to be on how to do commercials for television. It's a month-long course, so I'm looking forward to it. It's a good evolution, you know. It's good. And I can put it on my resume. I took a course.
Yeah, and it was interesting because the agent and actor that I met on the set of Philadelphia, The Great Experiment, who recommended that I see an agent, basically said to me, when you take a class and you pay money for it, you want it to be something that can go on your resume and that everyone will know that name, so that it, if you're paying value for it, it should have value on your resume, that level of value.
No, that's very true. And
so
I'm taking it, you know, that's the third class I'm taking, the Walnut Street Theater. They have a very good name. And the teacher also is very well known. I mean, is known as well and respected. She recognized it. So I have good names on my resume, which I'm honored to think that I've been able to meet with people like this. And I think it's important to have a good network around you, you know, to have people that are willing to aid and help your cause. You know, I think that's
very
important. It's good to offer that to other people as well. That becomes your I won't say your lifeline necessarily, but it becomes you get nourishment from these people, and they nourish you, and you get their gifts, their talents, and then you also are able to get their input and counsel if you need it. in some cases, you know, like working on a resume or what have you, if they know something coming up, to let you know about it. And you know, it's good to surround yourself with people that are, that are, you know, that are going to offer you, they're going to offer you quality, they're going to, you know, that you can that have a lot to, a lot of genuineness and credibility, and also you know, authentic too. Because you know, it's like building, like we talked before, taking those islands and connecting them and building community and network through them, you know, showing support, like going to the opening, the closing of the most recent show, Player and Players Gallery, you know, showing support for what Alexandra does there. And you know, we had her on the show a couple weeks ago, and you know, and then people that I talked to there, that I met, that you know, that I want to go see their, some of their other art, and then some of, you know, the band, see their music, because it's really important to have that and to have that community. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I want to, for the listeners, I want to tie back into identity, and what I and Dave were talking about in the first part of the show. And I want everybody to, you know, listen to my journey as I've been talking about it in this last year. It's interesting that this is 11/5, and I believe my first show was 1/5 or 1/8 of this mm-hmm. year. And it's really interesting to think back on the first shows and how I organized myself and what I brought to the show, and then to think about how it's been recently. And I just like to, that's a development of a skill, and that's very important. And I've actually been developing public presentation as a skill for many years, and it was something that I've always been very nervous about and unable to do, but now I can do it a lot better. I will say to everybody out there that I am still nervous when I do it, and I'm nervous from the perspective that I want to do well, and that there are some things that I'd like to communicate to people, not necessarily that I'm afraid to get up in front of people, but I really want to connect with people, and I really want to get things across. And what I want people to do is I want people to reflect not on, oh, this is Alan's story, but how does my story reflect in your life? How what stories have you been telling yourself about how your life is, and how far have you progressed, and do you really think that you've conquered it all and you've progressed so far, or are you willing to say, wow, there's some skills that I'm being offered and I actually want to continue to just look up at the sky instead of digging the ditches. And mm-hmm. I'm really interested in actually digging the ditches and doing that work that's not so attractive. I mean, it's much more attractive to go riding on cruise ships and flying around on airplanes and eating interesting food than it is to learning a physical craft, or learning a physical craft, let's say something that's, let's say building a skill set in a martial art, which is going to be extremely painful, or getting up there and doing lots and lots of hours of work in front of the camera and looking at yourself and picking yourself apart, and coming to be able to present yourself differently, because I saw Valerie did a tape, an audition that she did and sent somewhere. Actually, I think she auditioned for Dr. Oz. And she basically showed myself and Steve, who was who drives for the Produce Club, drives me over, and I pick up for the Produce Club, and he drives me back home. He was looking. He and I were looking at her audition, and she was just holding herself and speaking to the camera so clearly. And I basically was just like, I was just looking at her like, oh my God. And she basically just looked at me and she said, "You don't understand how many hours of classwork that's taken to get me to be able to do that." And I was just like, oh gosh, I want to do that because I want to be able to present myself. I want to be able to present myself so that there isn't an obstacle to getting my message across and to being able to communicate, to being, you know, to removing all of the baggage and the strangeness and just being able to, you know, cut right through it and be a professional advocate for whatever I want to be a professional advocate for.
Okay. What do you want to be a professional advocate for?
Well, at this point, for farming and more nutritional food, but that goes with a better functioning ecosystem, and at the heart of it is more trees.
I don't
quite know how to go about it, but I guess I'll go about it by speaking about it.
Yeah, that's the best way. Spread the like a tree spreading pollen,
or dropping nuts.
yeah, exactly.
Right.
Very true.
So, what happened that was interesting in your week this last week for you, Dave?
Well, the most impressive thing was I was able to finish my hours to get my to get now certified as a coach. So I just have a certification call. They'll listen in on a coaching call, and then I'll have the certification, and I'll be a certified coach. So that's what I've been working a lot this week. Wrapping up my last calls. So thank you for doing a call with me.
Oh, sure. But you had, so basically I saw you yesterday and you had one more call that you needed. So you had that in the meantime?
Yeah. Yep. I have. I wrapped up my calls today.
Yeah.
And then I met with my woman who taught my improv class that I attended in the winter, and met her for coffee, and then she told me about the class she's offering. Starts next Thursday, and then she helped me go over my resume and tighten that up, make some changes to it. So that was good. But that's, you know, been the focus of my week was really getting those in and getting that done. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, and I just like to reflect on skill building. And if you didn't have that come to you, you wouldn't need it. So just think about, you know, this mundane, you know, okay, calling people and developing this skill that you're developing, but you're actually being able to do that. And isn't that kind of amazing that the person that you are, this great unfathomably old being with all of these experiences, actually needs this simple skill built for it?
Yeah.
That it hasn't done it before, so it's pretty amazing, you know, these small things that we were offered and we're like, well, wait a minute, I actually get to do this. I mean, you know, doesn't my soul know how to do this already? well, it wouldn't be asking you to develop the skill from like rudimentary, the rudiments, the foundations. You know, there's no fertility in this field that you're going into, and you're being able to, you know, to start from nothing. What a there'll be greenery in that skill field going forward where there wasn't any before for this being. I mean, it's going to be a drastic change in the character, in the character of how your soul conducts itself. And it's so interesting to be able to do that.
Well, I think that a lot of times it's a continuation of what we were doing before. I mean, I could have been a performer and actor in many of my lives, and I'm just, you know, recapturing that. And a lot of times we just continue, we're taking it to the next step, so to speak. But in there some cases, I'm sure that that it is new things that we're learning.
Yeah. Well, as you know, as we're alluding to, I'd really like to thank you for that that coaching call. David was able to listen to me talk about what's going on in my life and sort of where I wanted to go, and he was able to pinpoint some negative self-talk. He didn't really pinpoint it. He basically said, "Hey, what are you saying about yourself right there?" And just being able to push enough and give me enough information to actually examine myself, and that was very valuable. So, from that perspective, how would people get in touch with you, David?
Just by email, dwhitman0906@gmail.com.
Yeah, and that's W-H-I-T-M-A-N, Whitman, with an H in it?
Yeah, yes,
and
exactly.
My name is Alan Ritter, and this is An Emerging Forest. And if anyone wants to get in touch with me about An Emerging Forest, about appearing on this radio program, anyone is welcome to do that from wherever you are. And anyone in the southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey area who wants to get some interestingly priced, as in low-priced, good-quality organic produce, you're also welcome to get in touch with me. And my contact information is an email, which is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. And if you're in the area and you have Facebook, you can get in touch with me by just going to produceclub.us, which will take you to a Facebook page, which is where our club is now hanging out. I'd like to say thank you again for coming along and listening and being a facilitator, David. Thanks so much for being here tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Alan. Thank you very much.
And to everyone else out there, we both encourage you to follow your passions. We both encourage you to enable yourself with and to be happy with skills that you're building in your life, because they are skills and arts and things like that, acting, art, whatever you're doing, build your skill in it, be better at it, work on it, and have a great week. And next Sunday, we'll be speaking with a special guest, Santha Cook, and she'll be speaking next Sunday, and I'll have an event posted on my Facebook page, An Emerging Forest, as I understand more about what she's going to talk about. So that promises to be a really great show. And thanks for listening, everyone, and talk to you next week.
for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.